They're the rabbits of the river, our worst feral fish.
The carp behaves rather like an aquatic vacuum cleaner, eventually turning the riverbeds into mud where nothing will grow.
Carp were first introduced to Australian waterways by European acclimatisation societies, wanting to catch them for food and fun. By the 1920s, they were well established in the Murray River. And while they are a problem in other regions, the Murray-Darling Basin is where they have the greatest negative impact.
He's a European carp, and his release into rivers like this here in Gippsland has been described by the Fisheries and Wildlife Department as a great tragedy.
We are afflicted in this nation, we are afflicted with this disgusting mud-sucking creatures, bottom-dwelling mud-sucking creatures.
These bottom dwellers do indeed muddy the waters, and with as much as 90% of the aquatic biomass now carp, they also starve native species of their food.
While there's millions of baby carp mouths eating the same thing as the baby native fish, there's a lot of competition.
Since the 1970s, many methods have been employed to get rid of them. Some are pretty rudimentary. Others are a little more high-tech.
It's called electric fishing, and it's proved highly successful.
They've been fished to make fertiliser.
It's all been snap frozen before we get it. These have probably come from down in South Australia or perhaps from the Gippsland lakes.
And throughout the carp-infested waterways, they've been caught for human consumption.
There's a lot of people think you can't eat carp, and you absolutely can eat carp.
Commercial fishers Glenn and Tracy Hill have tried to convince sceptics it can be a tasty treat.
If you look after it, do it right, understand what you've got to do to process it, it's a brilliant fish. It's the most farmed fish in the world, so billions of people in the world can't be wrong.
I never thought I'd eat carp again, but now that I've tried this, I might change my mind again.
The fish itself is actually pretty versatile. The swim bladders can be used as fining agents in winemaking, and there's even a use for the skin.
The skin's now used in leather products. That'll range from things like purses to belts to wallets, those sorts of things. We're just in the process of commercialising it now.
And with carp producing massive amounts of eggs, up to 15% of their body weight, the roe has a market in Europe as a poor person's caviar.
The big old adult fish are the ones that are really good for us for the roe.
But the bottom line for these bottom feeders is it's difficult to substantially reduce carp populations by simply catching them, partly because they are such prolific breeders.
1 3-kilo carp, for example, will lay 3 million eggs in a normal year. In a good year, when breeding conditions are right, they'll do another spawning. So you've got this massive numbers of eggs from one fish.
Netting is the main method of capture, primitive and effective, but it has limitations. The more you catch, the harder it is to find those that remain. So a decade ago, a more scientific approach was attempted.
Okay, these are an osmotic pump. You inject hormones or other chemicals into it and it slow releases it over a period of 2 weeks.
Female carp had small pheromone pumps surgically inserted. Then they were put in a cage as a live lure for male fish. The trials eventually found the invasive procedure wasn't cost effective, as it didn't attract enough male fish. Another process in which fish had radio tracking devices attached has been more successful.
Well, that was our first Judas carp, of one of 12 that were released in the lake, and he's got a radio transmitter on his back, and over the next 2 years he'll lead us to his friends and family.
When the carp aggregate for spawning over winter, the fishers can go in and catch the masses of fish. It's a technique that helped reduce carp in 2 large Tasmanian lakes. Male fish implanted with GPS trackers were followed to the spawning spot, and teams electrofished, sending small electric currents through the water to stun the fish for a few seconds, allowing enough time to check whether they were actually carp.
So how'd you go?
No carp.
Carp control in Lakes Sorell and Crescent has been so successful that it's difficult now to find the fish.
It's very different to the old days. I think our best day back in 2012 was 750 carp in a single day. Now this season, I think we've caught 3 carp in 4 months, so we spend a lot of hours and a lot of days pulling nets for nothing.
Remarkably, after 25 years of concerted carp management, funded by nearly $14 million from governments, the island state is now considered carp-free, something the mainland could only dream of.
The scenario is different here because we've got them contained. Even though the lakes are big, they are contained to one catchment. They're not widespread, and that was the most important factor, and it's probably the reason why the program survived to the point that we're going to achieve eradication.
One research project that looked promising in terms of helping solve mainland Australia's feral fish problem was the Dautilus Carp Project. In 2000, Dr. Ron Thresher and his team at CSIRO started testing technology that induces carp to produce only male offspring.
If we could come up with a gene construct that we could put into an animal that resulted in all of its offspring being male, and all of their offspring being male, and all of their offspring being males, then after a couple of generations you'd wind up no females. The population would just crash.
By 2012, the project had been wound up, in part because the technology was still several years away from adoption. It was a great disappointment to the research team, who felt they were close to a solution.
To an extent, we've proven what we wanted to prove, which is that the technology works. You know, doing it in zebrafish, the next critical step is finding out whether it works in carp. And if there's a sad bit, it's because we're halfway through that experiment and we're going to have to terminate it before we actually get the definitive answer.
By far the most promising and most controversial carp control measure comes in the form of a virus.
Virus causes high mortality in all age groups of carp, and it's common carp and koi carp, which are the only two species that are affected by the virus.
Carp herpes virus emerged in the late 1990s and caused havoc in northern hemisphere carp populations. It's being investigated as a biological control for carp in Australian waterways.
Once it infects the fish, it seems to get into their many organs, and it probably kills them by interfering with the function of gills, kidney and gut.
A $15 million research program called the National Carp Control Plan spent 3 years looking at the environmental and economic feasibility of releasing the virus.
It's time to introduce and bring in one of the most, what I think personally as a scientist, will be one of the most effective controls on carp that we can get.
As a starting point, researchers gathered baseline population data. There's believed to be up to 1,000 carp per hectare.
This is really the first time that there's been the resources to go out there and get this total abundance figure. And, you know, it's sort of the holy grail.
Other research examined the water quality impact of millions of fish dying in the river. They found when they dumped 6 tonnes of dead fish into an enclosed wetland, the oxygen level dropped, which could be lethal to other non-target fish. Water New South Wales measures the impact of different quantities of dead fish at Prospect Reservoir, which supplies Sydney.
Above 1,000 kilograms per hectare, the dissolved oxygen stayed at zero for up to 5 days, and that's a real concern because for such a prolonged period at low DO, you'll pretty much wipe out the rest of the ecosystem.
I think the worst case scenario is that the intention of the National Carp Plan to improve native biodiversity could have the opposite effect and actually cause loss of native biodiversity.
John Conlon works for the International Institute for Water Education in the Netherlands and believes the virus will actually give native fish a chance to reclaim their territory.
It will be very short-lived if there is a water quality problem, and it will be only for one season for a lifetime of benefits.
The National Carp Control Plan is now in the hands of decision makers. The release of the virus will need approval of all the states as well as the federal government.
We can absolutely close the book on whether or not carp are a problem. We know they are. We know that they have tremendous environmental impacts, and we know that this problem is not going away by itself.